Good morning. All right, to the spirited ones over in the warehouse, to you, my friends in the chapel, to you, those of you who are joining us online, we just want to say welcome. My name is Tim Caldwell. I'm the family pastor here at Fellowship, and it's really good to be with you today. I don't know what your spirit of adventure is. For some of you, you may daydream about being dropped in a foreign country or a place like Alaska and just surviving. Some of you may be really extreme, and you would love to do that every single week in your Lazy Boy watching Bear Grylls do that on TV, right? I don't know if you've seen Man vs. Wild, Survivor Man, Ultimate Survival, Extreme Adventure with Bear Grylls, or as my youngest son used to say, Bear Grylls. Okay, it's quite inspiring. Actually, we had somebody on our X team. This was about 10 years ago. He had a 10-year-old son. They were watching Bear Grylls, and the son was so enthralled and so inspired, he just looked at his dad, and he said, "Dad, let's go to the wilderness." And this dad looked back and said, "Son, let's go," right? So they simply packed up. The dad said, "What do we need to bring?" And he goes, "Just a knife, Dad." So hopefully this is more like Bear Grylls and not like Lord of the Flies or whatever else like that. I mean, they're just going to go to the wilderness, kill and eat. But this dad's going to go along with this. So they go, and the dad, just for measures, he brings a fishing pole just in case. But you want to talk about some bro time, this 10-year-old and his dad in the wilderness, right? And it was awesome. You want to talk about just braving it. For the first 30 minutes or an hour, awesome. They made some traps for rabbits. There was no rabbits or rodents or anything but mosquitoes. They put their line in, and maybe this river didn't go anywhere because there was nothing in there. But these are wilderness men, right? They saw this before on Ultimate Survival. So they went and they found some berries, sometimes a little not great on the palate, right? But they give you protein. So this little boy starts taking some of these berries. What he didn't know, because they didn't show this on Bear Grylls, dandelion bulbs. They were used by Nazi Germany to poison other people. So as soon as he puts some in his mouth, he loses it, right? Asks his dad to go home and never again ask to go back to the wilderness, right? It's not quite like it was on TV, but I would just like give a big applause for this dad who didn't squelch his son's dreams. He let his son squelch his own dreams, right? I mean, there's just something inspiring. So if you've ever seen any of those shows before, there's this one common principle, like wherever you land, whatever region or terrain, you have to decide, is it shelter? Is it water? Is it food? Is it protection? Is it clothing? I mean, what are you going to go after? Because there's some places that you go, if you don't find those things quickly, you're done. So if your plane goes down in a desert, you need shelter and water. If you don't have that ASAP, like after a day, you're done, right? But if you get dropped in the Amazon or in the rainforest, right, if you drink a lot of water, it's just going to hydrate you for whatever's going to eat you next. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so each different place, it depends on what it is. So the reason why I say all those things, then adventure spirit, is today we're going to read a story. The Israelites are coming back to Jerusalem. It's in desolation, and they're going to have to make some decisions. Do you build the walls? Do you build the temple? Do you build a house? What about protection? What about all of those things? And they're kind of a little bit of having to live survivor man for this people. And here's the deal. They pick what's logical, but it may not be what was best. And so today we're going to look at that. If you have your Bibles, would you go with me to the book of Haggai? Haggai is kind of hard to find. So if you want to get there, you just go to the table of contents and you look it up. Here's the deal. If you go to Matthew, which is the first book of the New Testament, and just go back three books. So it's Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So three chapters back from Matthew, and it's just one page in my Bible, but it is very applicable for us today. I would ask this one thing, whatever venue you are in, as you're still trying to go there and find that one page of timeless truth, would you say a prayer with me for just a moment? God, I thank you for your word, and I pray that I would communicate it clearly. God, I don't want to mess this up. So I pray that you would speak loudly. God, for every person here, would you give us ears to hear? We want to say, speak, for your servant is listening, and I just pray, Father, that your word and your message would come through with what you want to say to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and read, then I'll explain just a little bit of what we're talking about in this book. Haggai chapter 1. It says, in the second year of Darius the king. Would you say Darius the king? Yeah, chapel and warehouse, you can speak up too. In the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the people say that the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Everybody just say, He says that statement with no comment whatsoever, but then he goes on. It says, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now, therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. There we go. I got ahead of myself. I'm kind of excited. Here we go. This is what it is in history, just so I can give you a little bit of a time frame. It says, in the second year of King Darius. Depending on how much you know about history, I bet you know this, so if you can fill in the names. But you have Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's right. Okay, and they had this mean old king that came and took him. His name was King Nebuchadnezzar. Right. So look, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar takes all the Israelites to Babylon. So they go to this foreign land, right? And in Babylon, that's when Nebuchadnezzar erects that 90-foot statue and says, if you don't worship this, then you'll be thrown into the fiery furnace, right? That's all happening in Babylon. Now, after Nebuchadnezzar dies and Belshazzar, his grandson, comes in place, and then it's Darius. Darius is actually the one who gets tricked into throwing Daniel into the lion's den. Okay, that's Darius. But Darius was tricked in that he really is a good king. So right before the Daniel and the lion's den episode's happening, Darius says to the Israelites, hey, all of you in Babylon, you Israelites, go back home. Like Nebuchadnezzar took you, but like go home. So the place we have today is all the people are coming back home to Jerusalem, and they have to decide a couple things. You see, Nehemiah has already built the walls, but they have to decide two things. Are they going to build the temple first? Are they going to build shelter for themselves? Now, if I were to ask you which one you would build first, I bet you 99.9% of us would say, we're going to provide shelter. I'm going to provide a roof for my kids and for my wife and for my family. That's only logical. And you know what? God doesn't say anything against that. He just says, okay, so you say it's not time yet to build my house. You're going to build yours. That's how it starts. But listen to the progression in verse 4. But is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? See that? Some of you thought paneling was from the 70s. It actually was a throwback. It was alive and well in 520. When it came back in the 70s, it was a throwback, all right, to Israel. So listen, here's what this is saying. This may have started off so logical. You know which one you're going to build, the temple first or your house? Well, you're going to build your house. They start building this house, and maybe they got a little carried away because something happened at this time. While they were building their house, this epidemic happened. It was called Fixer Upper, right? And this Fixer Upper, so they had their little shelter, and Chip and Joanna Gaines came in and said, you know what I would do is I would take out these walls, I would expand the kitchen, I would do all new flooring, more lights, more windows. That's what they do to every house, right? Okay, and they did that, and they talked about paneling and shiplap and all of those things, and listen, somehow, it just started off as shelter. They got so carried away. This paneling, it either is very expensive or it expressed great detail. And they got sucked in. They got sucked into this. And I just wonder if there's anybody in here. Maybe it wasn't your intention. You just got sucked in. It wasn't your intention. Can I tell you something? I had a lot of back problems. Through my chiropractor, we ordered a new bed, which is amazing. It's wonderful. My back doesn't hurt nearly as much anymore. But I was going to build, it was a different size, I was going to build my wife a headboard. And so I was going to surprise her. But then that could be bad if it was the wrong shade. And, you know, she's the coordinator and the decorator and stuff. And so, you see, fellas, I wear the pants in my house, right? My family, but my wife picks them out, right? You know what I'm saying? So I needed to make sure that she had, you know, the headboard was okay. So I'm building that, and I'm so proud. And Jose LeBoy and I were like, we're going to do this great project. And as soon as I start staining it after this weekend, she's like, you know what? That's going to look great in a newly painted room. So newly painted. Well, yeah, it doesn't quite go with the paint. And so what are you thinking, babe? Well, I'm thinking if we paint this, then, well then, of course, the bathroom and the vanity, because it's all one area, right? And then when you get done with that, just finished it, she's like, you know what? This is so amazing. It makes me want to match the rest of the house. and it's Extreme Makeover Home Edition, right? I was just asking for a headboard, a one weekend, and I got sucked in. Have you ever been there before? Maybe a totally different story, but let's say you have kids or you have a nephew or a little grandson or something like that, and you want your little Johnny, first grade, you want him to play baseball, he hits the wiffle ball, and you're like, hey, let's go have fun and let's go play baseball. And so you go up to the coach and you sign up at junior deputy or wherever else, and you go, hey, he just wants to have fun and play baseball. And this coach looks at you and goes, well, it'll be fun, all right. But you see, your son in first grade, he's really behind the curve. You see, most of the people here, they've already been playing for 6 or 7 years. So besides the 2 or 3 practices, you're probably going to have to go to pro formas or D-bat. You're going to have to go to one of those. You know what? Really, if he's going to get any playing time at all, you probably want to practice more and maybe even get an agent, you know, because your kid has potential. And then in second grade, it's really going to ramp up. And I don't know if anybody in here, you just wanted like T-ball. And so you step into this, and after a while, that just seems normal. And somehow you just got sucked in. I'm not saying sports are bad or even home makeovers are bad. Listen, what happened here is they chose not to do the temple first, to do their home. They got carried away, and they totally forgot about the temple and the Lord. There's a little blank, the situation of kind of what happened. It says this: when you fail to put God first, you become numb to his importance and his rightful place in your life. When you fail to put God first, for logical reasons or not, you become numb to his importance and his rightful place in your life. That's the situation we have here today. Let's just go ahead and let's say what the Lord has to say about that. We'll pick up in verse 5. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Say that with me. Consider your ways. He says that twice. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build a house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because my house lies in ruins while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth has withheld its produce, and I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, on the new wine and oil, on what brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. So, however they got there, the Lord said, consider your ways. All of your hard work, because you have put me last and not priority, because my house lies in ruins. Listen, all of your plans I've frustrated. I have withheld my blessing. Besides these paneled houses that they have, everything else they're working super hard for barely anything at all. Because the Lord, the King of the universe, has his rightful place, and that is first in our lives. So there's these consequences. Not only do they have not much to show for their efforts, they're not bringing him glory and they're not bringing him pleasure. How in the world did they get here? I think they got here because they forgot the king and his proper place and who he was. Let me just draw us here to 2017 real quick. This was in a time without cable TV, without YouTube, sports, Razorbacks, Cowboys, ESPN, TV. Shopping at outlet malls, restaurants, book clubs, recreational hunting. Yet still, they busied themselves and found themselves enamored with something else besides the Lord. Church, how much more maybe is this word for us today, that we may have gotten sucked into the Lord, not only not being a priority, but that we haven't even thought about him in our daily routine. What I want to do today is I want to talk, how in the world do we recover from this and make him our priority? For them, the call was to build a temple, which would take several different things. It would take some time. It's going to take money or resources. It's also going to take their heart. They're going to have to change their focus a little bit. And since those three things Jesus talks about so often in the New Testament with priorities, I want to talk to you about how to give the King his proper place both here in 2017, in your life, in your family, at your workplace. And let's just go ahead and look. In order to give the king his proper place and priority, we must place him first in our time. We must place him first in our time. Matthew 6:33, you may have memorized that, but it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The Lord wants to be first, and so how in the world, if in our time it's precious, do we put him first? Can I give you just a couple of suggestions as I've thought through this? There was a senior who God did a whole lot in their life. So going to not a senior adult, but going to be a senior in high school. And that junior year, they realized that, you know what, I've always put myself before the Lord. So what they did is they said they were going to split the time with the Lord in the morning. So this girl who was going to be a senior, she said, if I have an hour in the morning to get ready before school, I'll spend 30 minutes with the Lord and 30 minutes with the Lord. If I have 10 minutes, it's 5 and 5. And everybody at school is going to know I haven't been with Jesus, right? Because I'm going to be all natural, right? Because I'm not going to be well kept. But she said, I would never put more emphasis, I will never spend more time on myself than I do with the Lord. That's just one way to put him first. My wife, maybe like a lot of you in here, enjoy social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever your form of it, if intake is. And you know what? What's not to love about social media? You know what? Before you ever get out of bed, you can have all sorts of likes and hugs and affirmation and people to communicate with and shout outs to people before you ever get out of bed. And so it can become very, very addicting. One thing my wife and her small group of girls she was discipling is they took one week challenge and they said, what if we're not going to get on social media at all until we have meaningful time with the Lord? And can I tell you something? For the first time in my wife's life, she became a morning person. I mean, she wants to get on that Facebook. She had meaningful time with the Lord, either in the morning or right after school when the kids came home and they went to their rooms. Listen, there's something about some of these things that we call priority, and her small group just said basically, God, we want you to be first. We want to hear your voice and what you have to say about us before anybody else in the world and any other voice drowns that out. And she simply said, I'm going to put you first, Lord. And that was a weak challenge, but that has just continued on in so many of their lives. Even for you, I know that there are some children in our service today. Can I tell you something? My son, he's 11. Did you know what his job is on Saturdays? His full-time job is to play. PlayStation 4, basketball, friends, rip-sticking, whatever else. You know what I've told him, Matthew 6:33, before he goes out and does his full-time job, which is pretty amazing at his age. Just say, hey, you know what? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Listen, why don't you just take 15 minutes and just spend it with the Lord first and then go to your full-time job. And he gets that now. He's like, right, yeah. And he gets it. You see, whatever age, putting him first in our time has to be intentional, but it's not difficult. Putting him first, even if you were to say not just time, what about in your schedule? Are there any Razorback fans here? All right. I love the Razorbacks. I like that mascot better than the Mesquite Skeeters, you know, my high school one. The Razorbacks, this Thursday I was in my Razorback gear to support, and a lot of people were asking me, hey Tim, you going to the game tonight? And I was like, kind of thinking, I hope so. And then I started thinking, I had a coworker who was going to be tailgating and actually had two extra tickets, thinking that's going to be a pretty awesome memory maker. And then I started thinking of my priority. You see, my priority besides the Lord right now is my wife. And I had left my wife for 3 nights this week. She had to wrestle and wrangle the boys and the kids. And so this was Thursday night, the fourth night. And even though going to a Razorback game would have been amazing and awesome, I had something better. You see, I had a priority. So I still watched the game. I mean, I'm with you, right? But I did so while I was wrangling and wrestling with my boys and throwing the football. You see, that would have been a great memory maker. There's nothing wrong with a Razorback game. Hear me that. Just this time, there was something better. There was a priority. Can I just say something? I don't know what your priorities are, and I can't tell you what to say yes and no to, but high school student, maybe it is you get to take your 27th AP course. That's awesome. That may get you far in life, but listen, it's good unless it conflicts with your priority, unless it conflicts with something better. Ma'am or sir, you have that promotion. They want to give you extra responsibility to oversee even more. That's great, and that's a great honor, unless it conflicts with your priority and him being first. You see, listen, my wife is my priority, and I say yes to every other event and every other person and every other thing that comes up, and I always say, just hang on, just understand, just chill out, just no, I have to say no to you, then she's not really my priority. And the same, if we say yes to everything else in life and always are telling the Lord to wait and just be considerate and hang on, then he's not our priority. If we're going to give the king his rightful place in our life, then we have to make him first in our time. Would everybody say first in time? All right. If that wasn't personal enough, let's go to the second one. It would be first in our money or our possessions. Matthew 6:21 says, but where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, these people, their treasure was in their house, and they were putting their time and their efforts and everything else in their house, and their heart followed, and the Lord knows that about us. If we were to make him first in our money, let me just give you a little Bible history. From the very beginning of Genesis, people were giving a tithe, which is 10%, which if you were a lifeguard this summer, then that means that that's like $300 a month. That was 30 bucks, right? 10% of whatever you make. If it's $50, it's 5 bucks. If it's more than that, then it's more than that. It's just 10%. And from the beginning of time, really since Genesis, people have been tithing. That's what the Lord asked for us. But there was something else he threw in there. It's called first fruits. Would everybody say that with me? Say first fruits. And to understand this, let's just picture for just a moment that we're farmers, okay? So picture your coveralls and maybe a shovel. Let's just picture for this visual that we have grapes, because I know a lot of you in this room really like you some grape juice, right? And so we have these grapes, and so if a tithe would be, it would be simply this. We get this many bushels of grapes at the end of the season, we would take 10%, we would give it to the Lord. If it was really, really good season, then we would take a little bit more, which is that 10%, or if it was really small, then we would take 10%, right? 10%. But the Lord, what he uses so many times throughout scriptures is first fruits, which is this. If we start harvesting, because we're farmers, right? We're harvesting these grapes. The first 10% we get, we give to him. That's a bad business plan, all right? Because what happens if you give away all you have, that 10%, and the foxes come? What happens if a fire breaks out? What if happens if pestilence or insects or whatever else happens? How much are you left with? Nothing. Nothing at all. Like I said, it's a faith step. And God over and over reminded the Israelites with this first fruits that not only would they give their tithe, they would give first fruits, the first of what they have, really to say, this is very important and essential for my living, but you're more important and your priority. Over and over, they were reminded every season, every harvest, every time they had livestock, first fruits. That's what God asked. Not because he's a control freak. He is the king of the universe, but he knows that maybe for our own sake, we need to give that away to remind us who our priority is. I'm not saying money's not important. I'm just saying that he is more important. And he asks for us to give to him and make him priority in our giving. I have become a hunter since I've been here. It's funny because Mark Henry put me in charge of this retreat center. I had never been hunting before. It was a duck hunting lodge. So I learned really, really, really quickly about all this. And let me just say this. I like hunting. I go maybe once or twice a year. I really enjoy it. I like bringing my son. We've shot a couple of ducks and just love the nostalgia of it all. But listen, because I just like it, it's not a priority. I have one pair of hand-me-down waders, a jacket from Academy that was on clearance, so I kind of bundle up and I have a borrowed shotgun, right? And so I can kill some ducks. Like, that's all I need, right? Do you think there would be a difference if somebody who really loves hunting, like that's a priority, duck hunting, you were to ask how many outfits or waders that you could borrow from them, or maybe their decoys? Oh my goodness, I bet you if they were really into it, they would have enough decoys for all of us to go hunting on their property. I mean, if you were to say, do you have a gun? They would probably show you a whole special room in their house for their guns, right? Because it's a priority and a joy to them. What I'm saying is this, your priorities show through your resources. Your priorities always show through in your resources. Hunting is great. Hey, anybody who has that many guns, I'd love to hunt with you. you know what I'm saying? But listen, you look at your resources and your priorities shine through. The same is true with our giving to the Lord. If he's really the priority of our life, it's going to shine through. He asks to be first in our time, Secondly, first in our money. And thirdly, first in our heart. You see, the very first two you can do whether you feel it or not, whether your heart is there, but some of you in here are saying, Tim, I want to make him first, but I don't really feel it. Like, I get so much affirmation from these other things that I'm involved in. Sometimes I just don't feel like giving the Lord more. Like, my heart's not there, and I can't make it, and I can't force it to go towards the Lord. I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't know if the Israelites at this point felt it. I want you to read with me in Haggai chapter 1, verse 12. We'll just pick up the story when we're talking about giving our heart to him. It says this in verse 12, "Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, they obeyed the voice of the Lord." Would you say that with me? "Obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent them. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message, 'I am with you,' declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and they worked on the house of the Lord of the hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king." Did you see what just happened there? Maybe they felt it or not. You know what they simply did is, when it came to their attention about making the Lord their priority, they simply obeyed. And once they obeyed the voice of the Lord, then they feared the Lord, and then their spirit was stirred. You see, for some of you in here say, "Tim, I just don't feel it, and I just don't know about giving him priority." It doesn't matter if you feel it or not. The Lord asks us to obey, and your heart will follow. That same, that verse we talked about, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It follows. I would just ask you today and implore you, regardless of what you feel today, would you give him his proper place and make him your priority? Giving him his proper place and making him your priority. I want to give you an illustration that maybe you have seen before. It's a little bit of a visual of what we have in life today. If we had a guessing game of how many kernels of corn are in here, it would be a lot. But this represents your life. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, we all have the same amount. But I know this about you, because I know this about me, is that we're very busy. I have 4 kids, and they go to 4 different schools in Little Rock, 13 miles apart. My wife works part-time at another school, so that's number 5. I've split my time between Cabot and here. Volleyball, basketball, football, community involvement. I know what it's like to be full and busy. And I know you know what that's like too. What I'm asking today in this already full life is say, okay, then go ahead and make him first in your time and make him first in your schedule, right? Make him first in your money. And then if we can get this, make him first in your heart. And can I just say this? It doesn't quite fit. You can kind of finagle this, but I couldn't hold this together very long. It's a little burdensome. It's uncomfortable. And so what most of us would, if we were going to add on all these things to our already busy life, most of us would just go ahead and say, you know what? It's not even worth it. Maybe I'll just give God a little add-in, a little token, and now everything fits just nice and snug. But can I tell you this, that the King of the universe is not an add-on. He doesn't ask to just tag along in your life as you go about in all of your busyness. That's not his proper place. You see, what he asks from you is not that you would be at the last whatever you have leftovers. He asks that he would be first. So first in time, first in your schedule, in your money, in your heart, in everything. And listen, when you put him first, I'm not saying you have any less to do, all right? Because you spend time with the Lord in the morning, your teacher, when you get to school, isn't going to be like, you know what? You don't have a test anymore. You're the board that you sit on, they're going to go, you know what? Because you spent time with Jesus, you don't have to come to these meetings anymore. I mean, praise Jesus if that happened. I just don't think it's going to happen. You're not going to have any less bills if you give first to the Lord. But what he asks is for him to be first, which may mean you don't have enough time for everything else. But listen, can I just say that when you put him first, he orders the rest. It fits. It works. For the King of the universe, who sustains it all, he asks to be first and not last. First and not a fill-in. And what I'm saying is this, if you would ever put him first in your time, he promises a couple things. You're still going to have a lot to do, but he'll order the rest of your time. And it says in chapter 1 that not only he'll be glorified, he will be pleased by it. When you give him first in your money, I'm not going to say you don't have any other bills. It just means that you give that first to him, he'll order the rest of the money. And he will provide for your needs, he will be pleased, and he will be glorified. And when you put him first in your heart, listen, your spirit will follow, your heart will follow, and he will be glorified. Church, what I'm asking you for today is to put him first. It works, and it fits. But there's only one proper place for a king, and it's first. It's most important, it's priority. I would ask you, in closing, just to take out this handout. There's a couple questions on there at the end. I want you to think about, I want you to talk about with your college roommates or your work people or your family or your kids, just to reflect on these today when you go to lunch, today here in the service. What would others say who are closest to you say your priorities are? What's one specific way that you could make the King of the universe first? I gave you a lot of examples. How about you pick one and you make one step towards putting him first? And then the last one is, when was the last time you sacrificed to make God your priority? Listen, our hearts are pulled toward anything else but him. Back before anything was really on the planet much, back in Israel, right? Their hearts found something, some homes to give themselves to. How much more today? Listen, there's so much pulling and vowing for your heart. If you're not making some intentional ways to make him priority, I would dare say he probably isn't. You have to make some real intentional steps to put him first. Would you pray with me today, church? God, we say to you, the King of the universe, that we want to give you your rightful place. God, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It's people and all who live in it. God, you reign supreme. You own it all. It's all from you. It's all for you. And we just want to give you your proper place. So King Jesus, would you show us how we can do that in our lives, in our families, in our jobs, in our sports, in our schedule, and whatever else. Lord, you've given us a lot of good things and a lot of good gifts. We thank you for good things. We just don't want to trade those for the greatest thing, and that's you. King Jesus, would you be the priority of our life? Would we give you control today to order our lives as we take maybe a really big faith step and put you first? King Jesus, who better than you to order our life? So King Jesus, whatever steps we need to make today, I pray that we would be obedient to those, but we just ask that you would be first. You would be most important. You would be supreme. You would be greatest. And we would say yes to you and no to a whole lot of other things and people. God, you're worth that. You're that good. You are that deserving of our attention. So King Jesus, be our priority. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.